And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Athletic Baseball Show for Friday, February 9th. Derek Van Riper here with Steven Nesbitt. Steven, it's a great week to be a baseball fan. There's a ton of great content out. We've got playoff odds from FanGraphs and the Pecota standings over at Baseball Prospectus, fresh top 100 prospect lists from Keith Law here at The Athletic. A few other folks around the industry published their lists in the last few days as well. It is a cornucopia of winter baseball content.
Exactly the word I'd use, you know. And we're also to bring people behind the curtain, DVR. Great to be back on the air with you. It's been a little minute. We're just coming in hot off of a Thursday afternoon all hands call led by our work father, or at least mine, Mark Carrig. We heard from some of the luminaries of the baseball vertical here at the Athletic. Chief among them, Ken Rosenthal. Good team vibes going on. So we're coming in off that to ready to get our baseball takes rolling.
Yeah. So we wanted to focus today on a few of those big things that have dropped, most specifically playoff odds. We're going to start there. And what we're looking for three teams that we feel will have better playoff odds at the All-Star break than they have today from the initial release of the FanGraphs playoff odds. We're also going to find three teams we think will be lower in playoff odds at the All-Star break than they are right now. We'll see if we can agree on three from each side of the ledger. I'll let you have the first submission. As you studied these teams and looked at these numbers, who popped for you as one that would likely improve their playoff odds between now and the All-Star break?
So there are two that are almost identical odds that I think both could be candidates here, but the one I'm going to go with is they're in the same division. It's the Orioles and Rays. I'm going with the Orioles. Orioles currently sitting at 57.5% odds. Rays just behind them, 57.2% chance to make the playoffs. The Orioles, with what they just did, grabbing Corbin Burns, they already had a great team, right? They're coming off of a division title and didn't get considerably worse, right? I mean, their closer went down late last season. They went out and got Craig Kimbrell. Between him and Yennier Cano, I think they'll have a good bullpen. This is a bullpen that, as you've mentioned before, led the league by a good margin in holds last year. They had saves on lockdown. They were so good in that back end. And if you bring a Cy Young type in the rotation, even just for this year, I mean, they're going for it this year. And I think this is a lineup that even has more ceiling with some of these young players who were just transitioning to the majors last year, who, you know, have their legs under them now. They could still make another move. There are still players on the board here. They are not, you know, nearly as likely as some of these other clubs, Toronto's, the Cubs, who probably really, really need to make a move. But if they do, I think it takes them over the top. And I'm buying them the over, and probably like a significant over on the 57.5.
Yeah, I could see them sitting closer to 75 or 80% odds of making the playoffs once we get to the All-Star break. This is a good call. This is one we agree on. A big part of the reason is the depth, right? You have the young rising stars, guys like Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, who already have put together impressive resumes in their young careers. They're projected by the BatX to be their two best hitters again this year. You've got some secondary guys that have been solid. Anthony Santander, Ryan Mountcastle. I think you get a bounce back from Cedric Mullins. And then you've got this next wave of young talent. Some of these guys have debuted already, some haven't, where you're probably going to see a lot of Jackson Holliday. You're going to see more Jordan Westberg this year. You're going to see more Heston Kerstad this year. You're going to probably see some Coby Mayo this year. That's a lot. That's a lineup that 1-9 might end up being the best in the American League and just as good as what you see, you know, the Braves or the Dodgers put together if those young players hit the high-end projection there. So it's been really impressive for me. There was a point maybe 2 years ago on this show where I wondered, are they more than Adley Rutschman, Grayson Rodriguez and even kind of Gunnar Henderson at the time, they were like the core three. I wondered if they would develop enough of the other prospects. The answer has been a resounding yes. Like, more than many people probably would have expected. This has been a wildly successful rebuild. Fully with you. 57.5% as we sit here in early February does seem low. I think they're absolutely one of our three teams that will be heading up. The Rays, for me, are a little more borderline. I think you have to make a stronger case for me to feel good about it. I can see how they do it because they're the Rays. They're one of those teams that projections are probably a little light on every year. I think this is true of most teams that mix and match really effectively with platoons and even teams that manage their pitching staff in an unusual way, right? The same might be said of the Brewers on the National League side based on how they're built right now. But focusing on the Rays, I think the biggest question is going to be, how do they find a way to backfill at shortstop? I think there's a very good chance we don't see Wander Franco this year, for good reason. And that's one of the areas where it's more of an open question. Maybe we see Junior Caminero come up and play more shortstop. That's one possibility.
Yeah.
They lean more on some glove-first guys that are clearly good defensive players that don't offer as much with the bat, and they just get buried in the bottom third of the lineup, right? You could see Oselivas Basabe or Jose Caballero, who they acquired from the Mariners. And then they just mix and match at other spots and get more offensive production from the rest of the lineup. That's one path for them to do it, too. I'm guessing if you buy into the Rays, you're also a firm believer that their rotation is still very good and that the return of Shane Baz gives them a possible frontline guy to put at the top before season's end.
Yeah, the rotation still, I think, is way stronger than a lot, the average fan might think, because you have Zach Eflin, who they have turned into a force. Aaron Civale they sort of bought high on him last year from Cleveland, giving up Kyle Manzardo in that trade. But I think he's a good number three starter. And you add Zach Littell, who's been completely serviceable, and then Ryan Pepiot has a lot of upside. Taj Bradley, another huge upside play, and Shane Baz, who's been really good when healthy. I think they have what it takes. However, I didn't pick them for my number one because I feel a good margin more confident that the Orioles are going to exceed that projection, because the Orioles, I mean, just consider the you have Junior Caminero coming over, coming up for the Rays. At the same time, you have Jackson Holliday coming up. And what's the luxury the Orioles have? They can put Jackson Holliday like eighth or ninth in that lineup. Like, they do not need him to come up and lead off. He does not need to hit in the middle of the lineup, even though he's got the type of bat that could eventually live there. Man, it's all signs pointing up. And once you get Corbin Burnes, you take that rotation that was, for me, kind of a middle of the pack to maybe 20th type range, if you're ranking rotations, you suddenly, just for 1 year for now, you jump that up to where I'm like, yeah, they could absolutely live a postseason series with three guys, with four guys. Even if they hit an injury, I feel okay, especially with the way Grayson Rodriguez came on late last season. So that's my first pick. Who are you putting on the board?
I would put the Tigers on the board, I think, is my first pick. The AL Central is a land of opportunity. I know there's some good vibes there right now with the Royals giving the big-time contract to Bobby Witt Jr. I love that. We know the Guardians are one of those teams that can exceed expectations even when they don't make big splashy moves in an offseason. Maybe they're a little better this year than they were a year ago. I like the fact that Bo Naylor is going to be the starting catcher as opposed to being someone they call up mid-season. I don't know what they were waiting for last year. Maybe Kyle Manzardo gives them some punch in the middle of the order that they desperately needed. He was the other side of that trade that sent Aaron Civale to Tampa Bay at the trade deadline. But the Tigers, the more I look at the depth chart, Steven, the more I like them. The more I believe that they actually have some things that are falling into place with Scott Harris kind of reassembling this roster a little bit. They signed Colt Keith to the pre-debut extension, so he should be on the opening day roster, barring a catastrophic spring. You look at Riley Green as a guy that's missed some time since debuting. If he's healthy for a full season, he could easily be their best hitter and could ascend to all-star level production.
Yeah.
Not much of a stretch there. And you start looking at some of the other pieces around this Tigers lineup. It's getting better on the margins in a way that Harris's old team, he was part of the San Francisco Giants front office, it's similar to that, where you have Mark Canha as this kind of solid veteran, right? Spencer Torkelson last year started pulling the ball and doing more damage in the air. That looks like a big step forward. So you could kind of see this young core blending with a few veterans, a few guys that haven't debuted yet. And you look at them as a group that maybe has a better pitching staff than people realize. Do you look at the Tigers pitching staff and think that maybe they're underrated at this point? They made a couple of nice additions. Most specifically, I think Kenta Maeda was a sneaky add. I think he gives them quality, even if it's only for 140 innings this year. It's probably more like number two, number three starter kind of results. That's big. Tarek Skubal kind of pitching more like an ace since coming off of his latest injury. You still have Casey Mize and Manning and a couple of the young guys trying to figure it out. We saw Sawyer Gibson Long and Reese Olson last year. It's not a group of household names, but it is a group of guys that bring something to the table and have some glimmers of actually improving in a big way relatively quickly.
There's enough here to believe in, and I say that as someone who comes from a household of Tigers believers back in Michigan with my family. The rotation is enough now that you could talk me into Jack Flaherty having a big platform year on a one-year deal. Kenta Maeda coming in and having a real impact, not just as a veteran leader, but as a guy who can still put up real numbers. What you're missing in this rotation is a guy you can sort of count on to go 180 innings. You know, like Tarek Skubal has had major injury problems in the past. Casey Mize, same deal. Matt Manning has dealt with injuries. Reese Olson's exciting, but you know, you're not going to bet on more than 130, 140 innings, even from him. So there's enough there that they can make it work. I think the lineup is coming together in a much realer way. Spencer Torkelson took a step forward last year. Riley Green, I agree with you. He has star potential if healthy. So I agree with you. I'm not sold on this being one of my, despite my my background, I'm not sold on this being one of my three, but I could be talked into it. We'll settle on it a little bit later. I like the direction they're heading. I think they're still it's hard because the division is so winnable that yes, it could happen at any time, but I don't think they're going to be in play for a wild card at all. So you need to win that division. And are they going to be creeping up on where the Twins are and where the Guardians are? I'm not sure, despite the fact those teams haven't done anything really to get better. So where, let me throw another team at you. How about the Rangers? 34.2% odds to make the playoffs. This is the defending World Series champions. They have, I think they're dealing with some of these, the uncertainty this offseason about local TV contracts. I think they're going to be, it sounds like, based on Evan Drellick's reporting, they're going to be dealing with some sort of one-year deal. Not the type of one-year deal you want to be talking about when it comes to a local TV contract. But this is still a team that not only does it have these established stars in Semien and Seager and Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter came up and had a ridiculous postseason run. Josh Young was really effective. Jonah Heim is one of the best hitting catchers in the league. And you have Wyatt Langford waiting in the wings. Wyatt Langford, who has surged up to, as we'll get to Keith Law's prospect rankings here. He is, I don't remember where he had him. I think he's top six, maybe. Maybe he was sixth or fifth. Wyatt Langford is one of the very, very, very best prospects in baseball after being a high draft pick last summer. And so I believe a little bit more than they do at getting, you know, a third of the odds there at 34%. But I understand you're dealing in the American League where the Orioles, the Rays are involved here. And then over in the West, you're going to get some pressure from who am I missing here? You got the Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners. So there are not a whole lot of spots, but the Rangers, I think, deserve a little more love than that.
So what's interesting to me, I'm looking at the Fangraphs projected win totals as well. The gap between the Astros and the Mariners is smaller by these projections than it is by Pecota, a Baseball Prospectus. I'm a believer in the Mariners. Their pitching is fantastic. Yeah. I think their rotation and bullpen are elite. I think they're at least a top 10 offense, and they might even strike out a bit less this year than they did last year. So they might be a little more consistent on a day-to-day basis. That could be a good thing for them as well. I think it's a tall order for the defending champs, in part because they're dealing with so many injuries. They have to wait for Max Scherzer. They have to wait for Jacob DeGrom. They have to wait for Tyler Mahle. If they can tread water and just be 5-6 games back of a playoff spot as they start getting those guys back, they could be the kind of team that actually dips in the first half, ends up with a lower projected playoff odds
That's
at the
point.
All-star break,
yeah,
and then takes off in the second half. Like, I can see the All-Star break pieces about the Rangers being super negative. Oh, they sellers at the deadline. Was it a one-year fluke? I don't think it's a one-year fluke. I just think part of the way they're built and part of their shortcomings right now come from their starting pitching. And the guys they're relying on, if they don't bring someone back like Jordan Montgomery, Eovaldi, John Gray, Andrew Heaney, they all have pretty scary injury histories.
Yeah.
So they're just on really thin ice for me as far as their starting pitching collapsing. As good as their system is, it's loaded really with position player talent and not pitching help. So maybe there's something else there, like a trade that I'm not able to account for right now. But I think they might be a team that's similar or lower than their current playoff odds at the break, and then they still have a run in them in the second half.
I think that's a good point you make about the Tigers' odds in the Central. If everyone's floating around 500, your odds are going to just continually get a little bit better. So I could definitely see them at the break as a team, because let's be honest, Tigers fans were talking into like August about how the team was technically in contention and had a decent share of the odds. So, all right, let's go Tigers. Tigers are number two team. Throw your next candidate out there.
Can we take a chalky team like the Astros? That's not very fun.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Can I make a ridiculous case for the Angels for a second?
Please do.
15.4%. Very, very low right now. It seems deserved because you lose Ohtani. You have a really quiet offseason. Most of the additions have been in the bullpen. A revamped coaching staff, right? You bring in Ron Washington, whole new group of coaches. Barry Enright's a new pitching coach. Lots of stuff's different. I look at this team and I think, they shouldn't be bad on paper. And if you believe that Wash is a good manager and someone that can maybe just push a more veteran group to care on a day-to-day basis, then you could see them overperforming a little bit. A healthy Mike Trout, maybe a Mike Trout that doesn't have to play in the outfield every day as a result of Ohtani's departure, maybe that means we get 150 games from Mike Trout. Maybe we get Anthony Rendon back just as an above average hitter and near everyday player at third base. That might be way too much of an ask. But if that happens, that actually gives them a nice boost. I think we saw some really good things last year from Logan Ohapi and Zach Neto. I think Neto could take a really big step forward this year. So they've got some talent up the middle. I think the lineup is probably a little better than people give it credit for. Brandon Drury is one of those guys. Every time you look at the projections, it's like, league average, 20 homers, no big deal. Well, good. He's like their fifth or sixth best hitter, potentially. That's fine. That's what you're looking for. I think what it comes down to with the Angels is if you believe in their pitching. Do they have enough pitching? They added the bullpen, so maybe the depth there is just good enough, whether it's Robert Stevenson or Matt Moore. Whoever's closing doesn't matter. Carlos Estevez was the guy last year. Their best three relievers are much improved now, even compared to just a couple of weeks ago. So that's a step in the right direction. But does a rotation that is built with Reed Detmers and Griffin Canning and Chase Silseth and Patrick Sandoval and Tyler Anderson and probably like Jose Suarez as their number six, is that good enough for them to hang around in this division given the quality of the Astros and the Mariners especially and the Rangers, you know, even with their short-term shortcomings, still being the defending champs who are very good as well?
My initial reaction was no way. But 15% is pretty small, and we're dealing with odds here that will certainly fluctuate as teams have a tough start or as, again, teams sit around 500 for a bit. It would be such a a crowded arena for them to try to wade through to get actually into a playoff spot. If we're just talking about their odds, though, yeah, it is more realistic, especially because we have to consider they're one of the teams that has sort of been rumored for quite a while to be a Blake Snell candidate for landing spot. And so, and they might just be crazy enough to give that guy a ton of money over here. And I listen, Blake Snell is fantastic. He deserves every award he's gotten. But this is not a player who evaluators think is going to be a smart signing long term, and it's going to take some team going a little crazy to give him the money that Scott Boras is going to get him. And if you put him on top of this rotation, as we're looking here on off Fangraphs roster resource, you go Blake Snell, Reed Detmers, Griffin Canning, Patrick Sandoval, Tyler Anderson. Like, okay, now we're talking. I could definitely see that team, you know, being a little bit dangerous at least for half of a season. So so because of that, I'm intrigued by the Angels as an option, just to better that 15%. But let me throw back at you another division that is near and dear to your heart. So the NL Central is I'm going to throw the Cardinals out here later, just to spoil things, as a team that I think has too high of an odds. But that leaves the pack that's behind them. The Cubs, Brewers, and Reds are all pretty tightly packed. The Cubs have 37.9% playoff odds. The Brewers 35.6. The Reds 30.1. The Cubs clearly of those three are much more likely to go out and get another free agent or two here of the actually pretty large crop still available. The Brewers, I think, are a lot better than team than a lot of people realize, because yes, they just gave up their star, their ace, their Cy Young winner, but they got some guys back who they like. So I could kind of be talked into either of those two teams, as well as, to just throw it all in line, the Phillies, I think, deserve some better odds. But of that group, I'm gonna stump for the Cubs, because I think the Cubs are going to do something more here. I think they have a pretty good team coming back already. They have the makings of at least the top of the rotation with Justin Steele. They got Shohei Imanaga, Jameson Taillon looking for a bounce back. Kyle Hendricks is always useful. Jordan Wicks has shown some good things. And in the lineup, maybe they go get Cody Bellinger again. Even if they don't, I'm interested actually in quite a few of their hitters, from Horner to Happ to Suzuki. Dansby Swanson had another good year. Christopher Morel can mash. I don't know why, he just can. And so if they go out and get a pitcher and a hitter, I don't think the Cardinals are running away with this in the same way that I see drawn up here on Fangraphs. I don't really believe the narrative. I mean, shoot, all these teams get a better odds by the All-Star break, all three of those teams, because I just don't see the Cardinals running away with it in the way that Fangraphs does.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you look at these four teams, and the Pirates aren't bad either. I mean, you look at their projected win total, it's three off of the Reds, who are projected fourth. So you're not really dealing with a seller team in the NL Central the same way you do when you look at the NL West, where the Rockies are projected for like 63 wins. And even in the NL East, the Nationals, whose rebuild looks like it's going pretty well, they're projected for 65. So I think that can really muck things up over the course of the season. Everything stays kind of flat. A lot of that for me, if I'm going to buy the Cubs right now, it just hinges on them not being done with their offseason. Their offseason has not made that much sense.
Yeah.
Shota Imanaga is a great addition, but he effectively replaces Marcus Stroman. He might be an upgrade over Marcus Stroman, but they needed another starting pitcher last year. Yeah. So they need one there. Bringing back Cody Bellinger is good, but I felt like they needed one more bat when they had Bellinger. Are they aggressively pursuing multiple free agents, even if one of those is a reunion with Bellinger? I would need to know that to like fully be confident in it.
Yeah.
And then how much of their young talent are they going to turn to early on? Is Cade Horton going to get a lot of meaningful innings at some point this year? Is Matt Shaw going to come up and solve the problem at third base? Is Pete Crow Armstrong, who we saw at the end of last season, is he going to be installed as the everyday center fielder? The more yeses, the more momentum I can see here. I think they could get a lot better, a lot faster if they spent on top of pushing those young players into more prominent spots. I mean, they started the offseason with a splash, taking Craig Counsell away from the Brewers with a lot of money. I just hope, for the sake of the people that root for this team, that the plan was more than just having Counsell try to squeeze extra wins out of the roster the way he had been accustomed to when he was managing the Brewers.
Hey, give me your stump speech about the Brewers. Where do you see them right now, percentage wise? Do they deserve that 35.6, or am I right that they're a little low?
It feels a little low for me, but I understand why it's low. So they just added Gary Sanchez, probably as a DH mostly, but he can also catch when William Contreras needs a day off. So nice combination there. Gary Sanchez's defensive numbers are way better than the reputation that Sanchez on Twitter has. So keep that in mind. Aside from the Brewers' longstanding work improving catchers defensively with Charlie Green, it's just an organizational skill that they've developed over time. I think when you look at them, you see some weakness in a couple of spots. You wonder, you know, do they have enough power from the left side, especially? Yelich isn't hitting for power the way he did back when he won the MVP award. Sal Frelick, to me, is a little more of a slap hitter. Bryce Turang looks like an all-glove second baseman who might not hit a lot. Maybe he'll improve, put more balls in play, but that's kind of a funny weakness this team has. Not a lot of left-handed power. You look at the rotation, clearly DL Hall is going to start for them by need. They're going to try that. Makes sense. This guy has potentially 3+ pitches. It's a matter of command and staying healthy. If you believe that DL Hall will stay healthy and be effective, you could see a quality 1-2 with Peralta and DL Hall, and then they have to cobble it together the way they often do with some innings eaters and a great bullpen. So that's Wade Miley and Colin Ray and Jacob Junis. Guys like Miley and Ray and Junis and Joe Ross, who's coming off of a major injury, they're never going to project well. So it takes this level of trust that the organization has found something that will work. They'll have a game plan that'll work for those guys, and that they'll be able to maximize their value, that they won't overexpose them. They'll be quick to give them hooks and turn to a pretty deep bullpen that continues to be a strength. So I guess I could get on board with them being under-projected right now, but I do think you have to fully buy into their process to have that confidence. And right now they're testing that for a lot of people. Tons of recent successes, probably the best stretch of success in franchise history that we're dealing with right now. And the reactions around here when Corbin Burnes got traded to the Orioles last week made it seem like the sky was falling and nothing's working anymore. And I don't think that's the case. I think people have already forgotten they just gave Jackson Churio, their top prospect, a huge contract that signals he's likely on the opening day roster. And if he's on the opening day roster, maybe they wait 2 weeks and call him up. But he's a Rookie of the Year candidate in the National League. That's a possible superstar in the mix that you didn't have. You add Rhys Hoskins for some power. Like, it's a tough place to be a fan in some ways because you'll never, ever get to spend as much as the Cardinals. And of course, when you see teams like the Dodgers and the way they spend, that's like way out of bounds. But even the Cubs will typically spend a lot more. So you're just left to player development, being comfortable making trades, betting on the future that the 6+ years that you get from DL Hall and Joey Ortiz will keep your window open as long as possible. And you're willing to sacrifice a little bit of short-term ceiling, maybe a lot of short-term ceiling to get it.
Okay, so then let me set the parameters. You've talked me out of the Brewers successfully. I'm down with it. It's the Cubs or it's the Angels. And so here, I'm going to set the parameters. You have to make the pick. The team we pick for our third spot here, as the underrateds, is the team you think is more likely to get Blake Snell. Angels, Cubs. That's our pick.
I think it's the Cubs. Something's up with the Angels. You know, we had that whisper a while back that Artie Moreno was looking to sell the club. It was an actual report, and they took him off the market. We just saw the Orioles get sold kind of unexpectedly. So I wonder if that's what's going on with the Angels. I think the Cubs are more likely to say, we were just waiting for prices to come down. We saw the clear and obvious need. We're going to go out and get our last guy, our last two guys. If it's Snell in a reunion with Bellinger or Snell and Matt Chapman, some combination of those two guys, that all seems more likely. So for me, it's Cubs over Angels, but the Angels get laughed at all the time. I just felt like they deserve to be considered as a team that might be a little underprojected.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, so I've already given a hint as to where I'm heading for my first pick for the teams that are overvalued here. It's the Cardinals. So this is a team coming off a horrible year that said we need to completely overhaul our pitching, and they did, but yet they come away with a pitching staff that I don't fully believe in. So Sonny Gray, he's been fantastic in recent years. They're followed by Miles Michaelis, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and Steven Matz. I don't look at the last three of them as anything more than like a back of the rotation extra arm. They've sort of been like Kyle Gibson is like the definition of average major league starter. Lance Lynn has been extremely erratic, and Steven Matz is just your sort of your standard lefty. That's fine. That's a valuable guy to have as your fifth starter. But do you have a one and two? I'm not even sure you truly have a one and a two. And these guys are all 30. Let's see. The ages as put out here on Fangraphs, 32, 34, 35, 36, 36. This is like what the Mets had last year, where you're like, these guys are going to break, aren't they? And indeed they did, dear listener. And so I don't believe fully in that rotation, even though it looks completely different from what it looked a year ago. You know, the bullpen, I think, will be okay, despite the fact that they don't have Jordan Hicks anymore. I think Keenan Milton was a good add for them. But listen, you're depending a lot on a couple key contributors in Paul Goldschmidt, who's 36, and Nolan Arenado, who's 33, almost 32 for now, and some really young guys who have not fully rounded into form. With Jordan Walker, I think we're still waiting to see where is that upside for him. Nolan Gorman, I think, came into his own last year, big on the power numbers, but is not going to be a huge on base guy. And Mason Wynn got a sniff of the majors last year. He's going to get a big run this year. He was at the top of prospect rankings, certainly. So they have the talent there, but I don't think they have so much more talent than the Cubs could likely end up with, or even where the Brewers are, and the Reds trailing behind, but certainly a talented team that's spending money and has developed well in recent years and can do a lot of damage in that zany ballpark of theirs. I don't believe that the Cardinals should be at 54.6% chance to make the playoffs. That's where I'm at.
The gaps are really small, but if I asked you, who has the best rotation in the NL Central as it stands today, with no trades, no signings before spring training, just as they're all currently constructed, which one would you choose as your own rotation, neutralizing for Parks, of course?
I think it's the Reds. I didn't intend to say that, but the Cubs, okay, as they stand today, the Cubs, you're right, they have a, you know, 1-2 type in Justin Steele, who's been really good, but you're kind of watching it like, is this smoke and mirrors? Like, is this going to keep working with this guy who's almost like a two-pitch pitcher? But to be clear, has been very, very effective. So that smoke and mirrors is working for now. Tyone has struggled lately. You have Shohei Ohtani is a huge question mark. So I can't really say them. With Milwaukee, it's like, you know, Freddie Peralta, I think, is a guy with really big upside. Is he ready to be an ace? We'll see. Wade Miley, your classic, you know, mid-30s veteran. I'm trying to think of the rest. D.L. Hall, sure, that could all play out, but they're question marks. And then in St. Louis, I just spelled it out. Like, I don't believe fully in anybody beyond Sonny Gray, and you're expecting Sonny Gray to deliver what he does, which is like 180 to 200 innings. And he could do that, but behind him, I don't know, man. I'm not sold on the rest of that rotation, despite the fact that they are proven big leaguers, and there's some value there, and Lance Lynn could bounce back. And Kyle Gibson could be like first half Kyle Gibson from last year for a whole season. They could do it. It's not the worst park to be in. But I think I might lean, if I had to pick now, on Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, Frankie Montas, who they went out and got, Nick Martinez, they went out and got, and Andrew Abbott, who was fantastic for at least 10 starts last year. And they have some depth in that system. So that's, I think, if, you know, gun to the head, that's where I'm going. What are you?
Yeah, I think I'm the Reds as well. I like Nick Lodolo a lot too, but then between Green and Lodolo, they could have the best 1-2 in the entire division. It's within the range of outcomes for sure. I think the reason I asked is because I'm with you on the Cardinals pitching. I like Sonny Gray more than most. I think they went just a little bit too innings eating bulk with the strategy. I think this is one area where the arrival of Chaim Bloom in the front office is something we talked about with Katie Wu maybe a month or so ago. I want to see how their philosophy towards pitching changes with Chaim around. Like, are they going to become more like the Rays, more like even the Red Sox we've seen in recent years? Are they going to become an organization that finds a way to not only just unearth value on the pitching side, but make guys better? Because I think this is one of the things they don't do. They do a lot of things really well in St. Louis. It pains me to say it. I say it all the time. I think that the reason I'm not sure that they're overprojected is because I think this position player group can outhit the pitching. I think there are so many ways for them to just get better. A healthier Nolan Arenado, probably better. A full season of Wilson Contreras, where they're not asking dumb questions like, is he still a catcher? They're not going to do that this year. Wilson Contreras is a good player. Everything's fine. Paul Goldschmidt bouncing back a little bit, already continuing to work with different weighted bats and things this offseason, just trying to find another really productive season. Easy to buy into a bounce back from him. You know, the young guys between Walker, Gorman, Mason Wynn, two out of those three guys will probably be better than they were upon arrival. And to me, like, the best bet's actually Gorman. I think Gorman's going to mash. Yeah. Even though he's got some defensive limitations, he might hit to be like a classic DH, like 30, 35 home runs, big time power. I love what Nolan Gorman could bring to the table for the heart of this lineup. And then across the outfield, you don't have Tyler O'Neill anymore, but you still have pretty good depth. I mean, you got Nootbaar, you got Dylan Carlson maybe as your fourth. Tommy Edman is going to play some center field when he's healthy. Walker, who you mentioned before. I just think they're in a good position. And then Victor Scott, one of their top prospects, might be up to play center field this year. So I could see them just being one of these teams that, because of the division they play in, they can hide their starting pitching a little bit, lean into their bullpen depth, maybe get the impact starter they haven't got yet this winter at the trade deadline, and at least keep that 50-ish percent playoff odd. So they're not a clear down arrow for me, but I understand exactly why you're concerned. If I were a Cardinals fan, I'd be mad that they didn't get one more impact starter and that they instead opted for a combo of Gibson and Lynn. Like, one of those guys was fine. Both of them was not what you wanted.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think you're right. I named the old guys, the old geezers on the roster, but there's also a ton of youth. Like, Gorman's 23 still, Dylan Carlson's still 25, and it feels like we're writing him off a little bit as like the player we thought he could be versus who he is today. Wynn and Walker still both 21. So, like, these are... There's so much variability that happens. You know, the range of outcomes is huge when you have guys that young, and they could all hit, and Lars Nootbaar could be the the hitter Eno has dreamed of. You know, it could turn this division into a cakewalk, and especially if the Cubs don't do anything as far as more signing, so it could happen. But that was my first instinct, was I don't see them running away with it like the projections think. All right, hit me. Where are you going?
The Marlins. What's going on with the Marlins projection here? I mean, the fact they were going to install someone in the front office above Kim Ng, it's just a classic Marlins blunder. And what have they done this winter to make this roster even slightly better on the margins? It's a whole lot of nothing.
No, it was like they did their work at the trade deadline in getting Josh Bell and Jake Berger, and now they're just going to sort of see if that works.
Yeah, they got more thump than they had a year ago entering the season. You're relying on Jazz Chisholm to stay healthy. You're relying on Jake Berger to do it over a full season. I guess the other part of it for me is I look at their rotation. It's still very good. Yuri Perez could be one of the best young starters in the National League. Love Yuri Perez. I think they're going to miss Sandy Alcantara in a big, big way. You know, you have Yuri Perez, Jesus Luzardo, Braxton Garrett. That's a nice trio. I'm not as high on Edward Cabrera as Eno is. I just think the control issues are too much for him to overcome, barring a massive, massive change in his command and his approach. So I just think their previous strength took a really big hit when they lost Sandy. And I'm a little worried that they just don't have enough in this lineup day to day to contend and hang around in this division. I mean, the Mets, you know, they're taking a small step back, but they're not bad. The Phillies are clearly better than the Marlins. The Braves are obviously a lot better than the Marlins. And the Nats are getting better. So I just look at the Marlins as one of those teams that needed to continue adding and have just stood so still this offseason that there's almost nowhere to go but down, which is really just a terrible turn of events for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. They went out and got the punch they had lacked for a long time, and Josh Bell opted in, I believe, as a player option for this year, so he could have left. Maybe that would have changed the course they went. But you're going to need, I think you're baking in some pretty considerable steps forward if you're rolling with this team. You need Jake Berger to do what he did last year, which not a foregone conclusion given where he's at in his career. I mean, he could do it. He's extremely talented as far as just like raw power goes. And projection, that looking at Fangraphs, he says 29 homers. I think he could eclipse that. I think he's going to get everyday run there. Bell would be going into his last year before free agency again. Those it could all click for them. But a lot has to go right. And this rotation, like you said, without Sandy, needs to again lead this team, which I'm not betting so much on Cabrera and Rogers to be, you know, the guys you want every fifth day. So they have, 33.5? Am I right on those odds? So I agree. Yeah. That does feel a little bit high, especially considering that there are so many playoff spots. It feels like we can look around the NL, just like the AL, and it kind of feel like these are pretty well sewn up. You know, you gotta play the game. So by the break, I could definitely see that one dropping. You just stumped for the Mariners. I was actually going to say that might be a little high, but let me go actually direction. Let me go with the low hanging fruit, because everyone's been yelling about this Pagoda pick. The Yankees, I don't remember what the Pagoda number actually was. The projected win here is 88 wins for Fangraphs, 88 and 74. 74.4% chance. So this is a team famously did not make the playoffs last year. Was not a particularly good ball club last year. Had numerous issues. Aaron Judge out for a couple months with a toe injury. Carlos Rodon was injured and then not good. They just did a rather remarkable trade, if you've been paying attention, getting Juan Soto to be their, probably their number two hitter. Ahead of Judge. You can look at this team and say, absolutely, I can see why this would work. Soto is fantastic, even if he's only there for a year. Aaron Judge is, if he's healthy, great. Anthony Rizzo, if he's healthy, great. Verdugo, I think, is a solid piece for them. He's going to fill a role that he was probably being asked to do too much in Boston, and he doesn't need to do as much here. Giancarlo Stanton, if healthy, great. But there's so many ifs in that, even just in the lineup. And then you go to the rotation, which has really been the bugaboo for them. Gerrit Cole wins a Cy Young in the year where everything goes wrong for them. First off, he needs to replicate that. And then Carlos Rodon needs to get back to his, his ace looking form. And then Marcus Stroman, I'm not sure what to make of him at this point. He's a ground ball type pitcher. And so sinker baller, like I can see that working in the Bronx, you know, limit some home runs. I can dig all that, but you did also trade off a bunch of your pitching, I would say prospects, but it was more like pitching depth, plus prospects, in the Juan Soto trade, I just continue to worry about that rotation, and they could spend more money and go get another, they could go get Snell as well, but I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. So I still feel good about them as a playoff team and getting in there as a wild card, maybe. But I think 75% basically is high for them.
I think that's a very fair way to look at it. I think they've had a very good offseason.
They've done what they needed to do, yeah.
Can't really complain if you're a Yankees fan about the adjustments that have been made to this roster so far this winter. I think it comes down to every other team in the division being good enough to at least hang around, but I think at least the Orioles Rays and Jays could all contend for the division. I don't think it's ridiculous to say that the Red Sox could get very lucky and hang around and then make some additions or have some young talent come up and pop. I think their problems are going to come back to starting pitching ultimately. They're not going to have enough of that to close the gap on the rest of the division this year. But I'm with you. 74.4% seems high. One thing I've said about the Yankees for a long time, this is true of any team that has a lot of veterans in its core, these teams tend to be favored by projections. They tend to come out more favorably, even though there's added injury risk as your core gets older.
Yeah.
So they're a little more risky to underperform, even if it's just slightly because of time missed. It would force them to lean on their depth a little bit more. Their depth is very good. It's still probably not quite what you'd like. I mean, I do think it's better. It's better than it has been, though, because they're going to get Jason Dominguez back midsummer. Trent Grisham as a fourth outfielder. Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the questions about whether they actually hit the current win total, projected at 88 by Fangraphs and 94.4 by Pecota, that's the one that everyone was really getting riled up about. I think a lot of that hinges on Anthony Volpe getting a lot better. That's possible. Gleyber Torres crushing it in a walk year. Possible. Juan Soto being typical Juan Soto. Not much of an ask there. And maybe Aaron Judge avoiding a fluky injury as far as the position players go. All doable things. Where I think it really is shaky is the rotation depth. Rodon's injury history prior to last season, unfortunately, it's about as bad as anybody you're going to find in a rotation. Shoulder problems, elbow problems, everything. Stroman, to me, is a good glue guy just to chew up innings, be above average as a starter. He's going to hopefully get you 140, 150 innings. Maybe he gets you more. Great. Nestor Cortez was hurt last year. I wonder, is he completely healthy? Can he be out there for 30-plus starts? Clark Schmidt's injury history is kind of brutal. If they lose one or two of these guys, they're kind of in a familiar place where they have to turn to depth. So if you believe in Will Warren and Chase Hampton and the younger guys they'll turn to, maybe Luke Weaver has something that the Yankees see that they can fix. That's a bit of a stretch for me, but you never know. Then maybe they exceed in that area. But I think that's where they're the most vulnerable. It's just the injury history of their starters and not necessarily having the next guy up that you feel good about the way that a team like the Dodgers have, right? The Dodgers are just so loaded with their depth that if you're a Yankees fan, that's probably your biggest gripe is, well, we should have guys like that. We should have Emmett Sheehan's and Gavin Stone's and guys that don't even have a spot to call their own yet who can come up and be at least mid-rotation starters with upside for more.
Listen, Clay Holmes came up in the Pirate system when I was covering them as a starting pitcher. That's their secret weapon. They're going to run out of starting pitchers and say, let's loosen this guy back up. Let's stretch him out. It's July. Let's go.
So I'll take this as one of our three lowers. So right now, we've considered the Cardinals, and I don't think I'm on the fence on them. The Marlins we agreed on, right? They're going to be lower at the All-Star break than they are right now at 33.5%. Yankees we agree on, 74.4% today for playoff odds from Fangraphs. We think they'll be lower at the All-Star break, even though I think we both expect them to be in the playoffs. It's going to be harder than the current odds would lead you to believe. So we got two we agree on. Can we find a third?
I don't know if we can because, look, I'm not sure the Mariners are in the right spot at 60%, but you already hyped up their chances and think they are. You love where they're at. Is there a team that you're gonna you want to nominate as a serious faller here?
Is it unfair to take a team that's near the bottom of the standings in their division and say their chances will go from 2.5% to 0 by the All-Star break?
To be fair, I didn't really scan that part of the.
That's not really fair. That's not really the point of the exercise. All right, I'll throw some water on the defending NL champions, the Diamondbacks, and it's another case where I like the team. I like the direction they're headed overall. There's a lot of positives here. I think the reason they're 51.8% right now. So we're going to see if we can agree on either the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks, because I think these are the two best candidates for this last spot. 51.8% chance of making the playoffs this year. You got to deal with the Dodgers, who are heavy favorites to win the division. But you also have to deal with the Padres and Giants, who are projected reasonably close in wins at 81 and 79.6, respectively. So both teams within five games of the Diamondbacks. Even with the Padres having to trade Soto and cut spending, Steven, they're not a bad team. It's still a decent lineup. You've got, you know, Machado, you've got Bogarts, Ha-Sung Kim, and of course you got Tatis. And I think Tatis, another year removed from his lengthy absence, could get closer to being the player he was before the injury and the suspension. He showed a lot of flashes last year. So like, if that's your core four and you have to kind of cobble it together with the rest of your lineup, you can make that work because you've got this benefit of Musgrove and Darvish atop the rotation. Michael King, who everybody likes, at least on a per-inning basis, as your new number three. The ballpark kind of helps you find back-end starters who can be effective. So I think they can get some combination of Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, Patino, whoever they're chucking out there, to just find a way through. And it kept adding to the bullpen, right? They added Yuki Matsui, Wandy Peralta, made a few trades. This is a better roster than people want to give it credit for, even though it has a few holes. And I wonder if they're going to be a team that at the very, very end of the winter, just before spring training starts, even after spring training starts, they add a veteran or two that just couldn't wait out the market any longer. Like if I told you Eddie Rosario is going to go play left field for the Padres on a $2 million contract, would that surprise you?
No. It's hard. I mean, with this exercise, it's hard to be putting teams in this camp that I think have done the right things. So like the Yankees we just mentioned, I think the Diamondbacks are in the same place there. They go get Jock Peterson, relatively cheap. Eugenio Suarez, I think, was a great pickup for them, bringing back Lourdes Gurriel. They add some depth, Tucker Barnhart, backup catcher. And then Eduardo Rodriguez, this is the move that I wanted them to make at the trade deadline last year. They didn't do it. And Brandon Pfaadt turned out to be just fine in the playoffs. And put him with Gallen and Kelly and Pfaadt still there. I really like what they've done. I think they've done everything they need to secure where they are. The bet you're making is more on the Padres than on the D-backs. And I think that's a fair point to make. But if you're telling me, this is where we're just gonna be at loggerheads here. If you're telling me that essentially the D-backs and Cardinals have even odds right now, they're basically in like the 50% range. If one of those is falling between now and then, I think it's the Cardinals because of the pack that's chasing them, and there's just no wild card coming out of that division, and the odds know it. Where I think there's a wild card up for grabs here, and I mean I see the point about the Padres. I just don't think they're going to come out hot out of the gate, especially if they're figuring out some things with their starting rotation. I would bet on them starting a little bit slower, and if they figure things out, it's later on. But I mean, maybe do we have to agree or disagree on that one?
I can accept the Cardinals as our choice as opposed to the Diamondbacks because it's an outcome that I'd be happier to see. The Cardinals win in the NL Central so much that I'd have no problem with them underperforming again this year. I just see a few paths for them to get better. And I don't think we mentioned it at the time. I mean, Tekoa Roby close to being in that big league rotation. Maybe we see Tink Hentz at some point this year too. So they could get a lot younger and a lot better in the rotation if they promote those two guys and get higher quality innings from them as opposed to some of the older veterans we don't like. I do think the question I have about the Diamondbacks is, you know, if Merrill Kelly regresses, if any one of Kelly or Gallen get hurt, what happens in that rotation? I think that's a really, really thin group behind them. And I think that could be a huge, huge problem for them relatively quickly. There's plenty of teams in a similar situation, but that would be like the biggest thing I'm worried about if I'm a Diamondbacks fan. Like, they definitely had to get Eduardo Rodriguez. They needed innings. They needed a competent lefty in that rotation. I think the only other lefty they had as a candidate was Tommy Henry. He's really more of an up and down guy, I think, at this point.
Go Blue. Yeah.
But that's part of the question there. And I guess throwing it back to the Cardinals is like, which rotation would I rather have? The Diamondbacks rotation or the Cardinals? I'd give the edge to the Diamondbacks. It's a little better. I like Gallen a little more than Sonny Gray. I like Merrill Kelly better than the number two candidates for the Cardinals. And I like Erod and Pfaadt more than the current innings eaters that the Cardinals are relying on. So I think that's one area where, you know, I would give the Diamondbacks a slight like extra vote of confidence. It's just if those guys break down, they're in a world of pain.
That I just really wanted our biases to be out in the open here, where we're pumping up the Tigers and we're cutting out the Cardinals. That really plays right into our right into our fandom backgrounds. I just wanted the listeners to really hone in on that and get mad at us.
You know what? In fairness, though, we picked the Cubs as one of our three teams that we thought would move up in terms of their playoff odds. So if the Cubs are going up and the Cardinals are going down, we're okay. We're neutral, I think, in the NL Central. So the O's, Tigers, and Cubs are our three picks for teams that will have better playoff odds at the All-Star break than they have right now. Higher percentage of making the playoffs, according to Fangraphs. Cardinals, Marlins, and Yankees are our three picks for teams that will have worse odds to make the playoffs at the All-Star break. So file this one away. Set a calendar reminder for the All-Star break and tell us how we did. I'm going to put that on Nez. That seems like something he'll do a good job remembering and that I will absolutely forget. If you'd like to check out all the great content we've got on theathletic.com/baseball show is the best way to get in the door. $2 a month gets you a subscription for the first year. It is the best value in sports journalism. We've got lots of fantasy baseball content coming around the corner. And as I mentioned up top, Keith Law's top 100 prospects dropped this week. There's 10 hours of reading in there if you're a slower reader like me. So that alone, worth the price of admission. That's going to do it for this episode of The Athletic Baseball Show. We're back with you next week.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.